Friedrich Nietzsche, one of the 19th century philosophers influenced by Schopenhauer, criticized Schopenhauer's view that the will is identical to the thing in itself. In his book Beyond Good and Evil, Nietzsche argues that our experience of the will doesn't directly connect with what is ultimately real. Knowledge is always knowledge of appearances, so it's subject to error. Even our innermost thoughts are appearances, just as our perceptions of physical objects are appearances.
There are still harmless self-observers who believe that there are immediate certainties. For example, I think, or as the superstition of Schopenhauer put it, I will. As though knowledge here got hold of its object purely and nakedly, as the thing in itself, without any falsification on the part of either the subject or the object.
Nietzsche further criticizes Schopenhauer for oversimplifying the notion of the will, and for supposing that our own wills are any more known to us than anything else.
Philosophers are accustomed to speak of the will as if it were the best known thing in the world. Indeed, Schopenhauer has given us to understand that the will alone is really known to us, absolutely and completely known, without subtraction or addition. But again and again, it seems to me that in this case, too, Schopenhauer only did what philosophers are in the habit of doing. He adopted a popular prejudice and exaggerated it. Willing seems to me, above all, something complicated, something that is a unit only as a word. And it is precisely in this one word that the popular prejudice lurks, which defeated the always inadequate caution of philosophers.
Nietzsche's criticism suggests that the will is an appearance, and that it cannot be identified with the thing in itself. If he's right, Schopenhauer loses his footing when he claims that the will exists outside of space, time, and causality. Schopenhauer now would have a particularly hard time arguing for a more general concept of the will, distinct from the individual will. Schopenhauer's view that the will is a unified, blind, irrational force, a force that constitutes the inner being of nature, would be purely speculative. In discussing the freedom of the will, Nietzsche suggests that the concepts we use to characterize the will create for us a symbol world. But he says this world can't be applied to the will as though the will existed in itself. The discussion must move from the mythological talk of a more general kind of will to the level of individual wills.
When we project and mix this symbol world into things as if it existed in itself, we act once more as we have always acted, mythologically. The unfree will is mythology. In real life, it is only a matter of strong and weak wills.
If we can speak meaningfully only of individual wills, then Schopenhauer's notion of the will as the thing in itself lacks the force he wants to give it.
This is the end of Side One.